It's not even the funeral yet. And here I am. Hey, man. We love you. Appreciate you this morning. I mean, God's good. Hey, man. I was praying yesterday and asking the Lord for some strength today. And not only for the Jones family, but myself. And I'm going to try to preach to you. The Lord to help us, if it's possible, and it's just, we need the Lord's help, amen. Love you all. If you would go to the Bible, the book of 2 Corinthians this morning, let God help us. I would encourage you, it's all right to shed some tears. Matter of fact, it does you worse to try to hold it back, doesn't it? It's tough. But God, I often say this, God's given us tear ducts for a reason. And it's just healing and crying and just expressing your heart before the Lord. And I feel the Lord's presence here today. And just know he's here to help us and comfort us. And I just once again love you, Brother Glenn. Love this church. And I knew it'd be a tough day. And I'm not going to act like it's not. I can't do that. But God's good, isn't he? God's good. And I've heard every one of the Jones family that I've talked to have ushered those words into my heart. And God's good. Amen. Well, you know, what do you preach? What do you say? So many things you like to say. But we need God's comfort. And he is comforting us. He's already been comforting you. But these verses, to be honest with you, I had to go back and refresh my memory on where's that verse at? Where he said he is the God of all comfort. And in research and just going back and refreshing my mind, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 came to mind and study. That's what I want to preach to you about today. The source of all comfort. And we're going to look to God today and we'll be encouraged to this. I know we will be. I've already been encouraged in study. I believe this will just comfort all of our hearts. And God knows. Amen. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 3. And I'm not going to read all these verses to you, but if you take time in the future, if you look at verses 3 through verse 7, it's very unique because you see two words mentioned several times. You see the word comfort and consolation. They're actually the same word a lot of times. Some versions would actually call consolation comfort. But I find it amazing there in verses 3 through 7, the word comfort or consolation is mentioned 10 different times. So this is one probably the most comforting verses from what I can understand in the Bible as we look at these verses together. But just verse 3 there, one verse, it's going to be enough today just to share my heart with you. And I believe it would just be wonderful if we can grasp this verse. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Now, we understand that we as human beings need comforting. Frequently, you see it from the youngest age to the oldest age, how there is a need for comfort. Oh, I cannot tell you how many times, and parents can attest to this. Does a child come to you for comfort? I remember yesterday, my little daughter came to me. I was sitting out there, wonderful weather. Isn't God good? Give us some wonderful weather this week. And I was sitting out there on the back porch reading yesterday morning. My daughter come out there and something happened. And I was comforting her. She stubbed her toe or something. And Lord, how painful that is, you know. And she's sitting there and I was talking to her. I said, sweetie, well, you know, the Lord loves you. She said, the Lord loves me? I said, yes, he does love you. He loves Bubba. He loves Bubba. He loves Mama. He loves Mama. And she held up a stuffed animal. He loves Cooney. I said, yeah, he cares about Cooney because you care about Cooney. And you've probably seen that tattered little pink raccoon she carries around. But I thought about that, but how true these words are. He cares. He loves us. He comforts us. There's four different things today, this morning, and I will be brief because I know we've got a day ahead of us, a few days ahead of us. But I want to share with you four things that I'm hoping today we can just lay hold of and find comfort in these four things. And there's so many more. But just in this verse here, I want to share four things with you. Number one today is Paul is trying to get us to understand in this chapter, in these verses, that we have a God that wants to comfort us. And I will describe that more to us here in just a little bit. But if you'll notice there, the very first thing that he mentions about this comfort, or the first thing I want you to grasp is this, is that this comfort is paternal or parental. Notice what he says here. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So today what I want you to understand, number one, is this. God knows how to comfort us, number one, because He is our Father. As I was thinking yesterday morning, as I was just comforting my daughter in that small, maybe minute, maybe not a big deal kind of way, how much more ultimately does our Heavenly Father comfort us in times of need? He cares, church. He comforts us. And my, how all throughout our life we need this comforting care, this parental care of God in our lives. What a blessed name. Notice what Paul says there. Blessed be to God. Now, that word blessed there is not like it is in the Beatitudes where it means happy. But that word blessed there means praise be to God. And so here Paul is praising God in the form of a father, because that father is a comforter in our lives. Now, interesting thing, I was doing a little study about this and I thought maybe you'd find some comfort through this information. In the Old Testament, it was foreign to the Jewish people, maybe really to refer to God as a father, so to speak. They didn't really refer to Him as a father. They looked at Him as God, and they did use some parental language here and there. But when we look at the life of Jesus Christ and how He revealed ultimately to us the fatherhood of God, it is one of the most beautiful pictures in the Bible. He tells us this. He says, when ye pray, pray like this, our Father which art in heaven. Amen. That's what Jesus told us to pray. Now, we know He was the Father of Jesus in that concept, but He's letting us know as well, not only was He Jesus' Heavenly Father, but He is your and I Heavenly Father as well. And my, what a good father He is. I mean, every one of my attempts and your attempts, any man in this room, any father in this room, any attempt that you have had in life, no doubt good deeds, God's is a greater father than I ever could be. And my, what love and compassion I feel from Him. I was reading a little bit about foreign and pagan religions of the world. When you look at pagan gods, they are lustful and cruel and selfish and unforgiving. They have to be pleased with loveless servitude and endless and costly sacrifices and pilgrimages and journeys and all these things trying to appease this pagan God. But our God is not depicted to us like that. He is depicted to us as a heavenly Father in our lives. And my, what a beautiful concept that is. He is our Father. He is our Father. I want you to get that. He's a good Father and He is our Father. And that's what Paul here is praising Him for, that because He is our Father. Isn't that comforting today? Notice this again. He's the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I won't go over that point very much today, but Jesus revealed that to us, that we could cry out, Abba, Father. You know, I was reading a little bit about that one time, and a book really depicted what the Abba Father thing is. It says if you're over there in a Jewish culture, it's not uncommon to see a little girl or boy crawl up on their dad's knee and says, hey, Abba Father. It's such a close term. It's such a phrase that we use sometimes that, yeah, it's amazing that we can refer to an earthly person as our father, but think about God being our Father. You know, every now and then you hear of somebody who has a rich father, a lot of inheritance. I might get 4 acres and I have to split that with three other siblings. But it's amazing how you hear people say, well, my father leave me a good inheritance. And I think that's wonderful if that happens to you. I think that's, praise the Lord, that's good. But can you imagine the inheritance, or even comprehend the inheritance we have from our Heavenly Father? The creator of the universe, the God of heaven, the Holy One, and Brother Neff was mentioning the other day at the Creation Museum of how they just really kind of help you begin to look into how big the universe is and how much God has done. That very God that we preach about is our Father. He cares for us. Notice what it calls him here also. He is the Father of all mercies. Aren't you glad for mercy? That word mercy there, or the word Father there in the Bible, I was doing a little reading about this, thought you might find this interesting. The word Father there in the Bible means the originator of. So when the Bible says that Satan is the father of all lies, it is depicting to us that he is the originator of lies, is what he is saying. In the book of Genesis 4:21, there's a man by the name of Jubal, and he was the father of musical instruments. He originated the pipe and the harp, and that's what it says about him. He's the father of that. He is the originator of the instruments there in Genesis chapter 4. But right here, if I use this phrase here, if you don't mind, that God is the father of mercies. We understand that he is the originator of mercies. He is the one that gives that to us. He is the one that has originated that and defined that. And his mercies are renewed day by day because all mercy originates with him. It can be secured only from him and by him. God in his grace gives us what we do not deserve. Aren't you glad about that? But in his mercy, he does not give us what we do deserve. You've heard that before. God in his grace gives us what we do not deserve. And in his mercy, he does not give us what we do deserve, which means we all deserve something worse than what we have received. God in his mercy has given to us. He has loved us. He has helped us. And even here today, we are benefactors and we are receiving beneficiaries of his mercy even here today. Thank God for his mercy because we need it even here today. Do you realize the comfort that you have received and we are receiving, the touch and the grace that we have now, is all because of mercy? God didn't have to let us feel his presence like we feel here in the sanctuary on many occasions. God doesn't have to hear your prayers, but his mercy allows himself to hear your prayers, his grace and his mercy. That's why today I would have you encouraged and comforted in this fact that nothing ever changes the fact of God's mercy. We look at each other. We live here today. We are saved here today because he is the father of all mercies in our life. But this brings me to my major point this morning. The God of some comfort, no. The God of all comfort. He's got a monopoly on it. All of it's his. Oh, how pitiful the world is in their forms of comfort. You know, I've been in the hospital enough now to where you walk up there, how do you feel? And they got the smiley faces. You know what I'm talking about? You know, if you feel real bad, it's a red, sad face. The other end is kind of, you know, it's kind of a happy face. And I don't know if you ever really are that happy in a hospital. So they ought to be kind of happy, I guess. You know, and sometimes you see people 3, 4. But if you're in bad enough pain, you know, they let you know, well, we want to get you comfortable. And so they have ways with medicine. And look, believe me, if I'm in the hospital and I'm in excruciating pain, I will probably ask for some of that comforting medicine. If it's bad enough. I don't judge too many people in pain. I mean, you sprain an ankle, you break a bone or something, you know what I'm talking about. You're not sitting there, and even though you trust God, you know, it wouldn't hurt. I want to trust God and not feel this at the same time. But when I look at this today, he is the God of all comfort. I want you to get this because I was studying the words here in the Bible, the word comfort and consolation, and they came from the same root word in the Greek as you're studying this. And once again, it's mentioned 10 times there in just those short series of verses that I read to you this morning. So comfort, what I want you to understand today, comfort is more than just sympathy. What sympathy is what we do to one another. We feel bad for one another at times, and we go through things at times, and that's our expression in the human nature to try to help each other. You know, here's some sympathy. I wish you wasn't this way and all that. But God does not operate just in the form of sympathy. He does understand what we're going through. But this word comfort here in the Bible is more than sympathy. It's not just God patting us on the head and giving us a little bit of relief or something to distract our attention from our troubles. No, what God's comfort does is this: God puts strength into your heart, and that's how he comforts you. He comforts you by fortifying you. and fortifying me. Our English word for comfort comes from two Latin words, which means with strength. When you look the word comfort up, even in our English language, it means with strength. With strength. The Greek word means to come alongside and help us. It is what Brother Eddie mentioned there in the book of John this morning. Jesus said, I am going to send another comforter to you. And what that means is somebody that's going to walk along beside you. That's what comfort is. That's what it is. Now, I had an illustration in mind, but I don't want all that to fall to pieces, all right? But this is what sympathy is, and this is what we do in humans. It's fine. Look, I'm sorry. Come here, Brother Shane. I'm going to try it anyhow. This is what sympathy is. Brother, I'm sorry. But this is what comfort is in the Bible. Lean on me, brother. This is what comfort is. Let's walk. Lean on me, brother. I'm going to hold you up. Sympathy is, look, I'm sorry. But what comfort is I'm going to hold you up. Right. See, you know what God does for us? Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't stand here, brother. He doesn't just stand over here and say, look, it's all right. You know, you'll make it through. Brother Glenn, he holds us up. He holds us up. Aren't you glad he does that for us? Aren't you glad that Brother Glenn... No doubt you felt the arms of God in the last few days. I see it. I know it. But God don't just leave anybody there just kind of, you know, I hope, you know, you're going to make it through just struggling. No, what God does, He comes along beside us, puts your arm around Him, and He picks you up. That's what God does for us in our comforts. So you know what God's doing this morning for Abundant Life Tabernacle and everybody, the Jones family? I'm telling you what He's doing. You're not carrying yourself. If you were, it'd be a lot worse. I've talked to most of the Jones family. They're not carrying themselves. They know that. But oh, something's holding them up. Something is holding them up. Comfort is not just, you know, let me give you my small, pathetic definition of comfort in my mind. Derek wants to have a comfortable day, all right? And honey, this is no reflection on you or nothing. Just listen to what I'm saying. This is what Derek's comfort is. When I say the word comfort, I think of, oh, a big soft bed, a big stuffed chair, or just eating your favorite meal, and your wife has nothing for you to do, and your kids are gone, and the lawn is mowed, and everything's worked out, and there's a hammock out there, you're on vacation, swinging in the breeze without a care in life. You think that's comfortable too. You know it is. Me and Holly got to go out to eat the other night without kids. Man, that was wonderful. And you hear a baby crying, and you kind of chuckle, say, oh, I wonder who they are. I know they're having a time. That's not what the Bible means. Once again, it's not talking about some cushy life somewhere. What Paul is saying is he's saying, God came to me in the middle of my trouble and He gave me strength. That's what Paul's saying. He came to me in the middle of my trouble and He gave me strength. He came to me and He gave me courage. He came to me and He gave me boldness. He came to me and He has made me brave. In fact, guess what? God is the very source of my comfort. He's carrying us. Once again, church, and I'm about to close. Once again, I'm not drawing this out this morning. Now, we got a lot of things today, busy few days. But I wanted you to be encouraged today with this. God's not some God aloof somewhere, just trying to show some, throwing a little sympathy from heaven. God's in this room. God's at your home. He's there. Brother, He's going to be with us at the funeral home. He's going to be with us here tomorrow. He's going to be with us next week. A year up the road. And if God allows me to live 50 years, 60 years, He'll be with me then. Not distant. Not disconnected. But He will be carrying me. He will be carrying me. Stand to your feet this morning. Once again, I know this isn't a long, and I've done that on purpose. This isn't a long message. Those other verses outlined, we could chase this on down, but I couldn't get past this beautiful phrase. God is the God of all, comfort. I feel the strength. I feel the strength. You know, I just like being transparent. I think this is what makes us unique as any church. Sometimes they lose this in mega churches. As a matter of fact, they always do. This family bond we have, you know. Isn't it amazing how I can just look around right now? I just see God holding you up in my mind. I just see God holding us up. See God doing it. Because guess what? Life does change. Welcome to the human life that we live. I wish there was a button to push, brother. We all do. That just would never nothing. No, but look, it happens. Life happens. But the question is this. Where do we go? How do we make it? And where is our source? He's the God of all comfort. The reason I have been extremely brief this morning is because I think we do need to take a time and pray in these altars. It's all right to do that. I know we've got a few moments here. It's 11:40. It's early. But I felt today that it'd be a good time for us as a church family to come here. And when we pray in these altars, I want you to picture it this way. I want you to picture God here holding us up. That's what I want us to see. So my wife, if she would go to the piano this morning and we could keep our minds on the Lord for a few minutes. Once again, this is nothing. I don't feel like, you know, I'll be honest with you. I've wrestled and prayed and wrestled and prayed. Lord, what to say, what to do. And I knew this would be, but we're here together. We're making it. Amen. You know, I didn't know if I'd make it through the opening this morning, Brother Eddie. It just hit me back there. And I said, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. And you know, I'm doing over here. I'm doing well. And I get up here and I lose it again. But I'm looking at you right now, and I feel the Holy Ghost. Why is that? He's holding us up. He's holding us up. So let's find us a place to pray. If you want to pray in your seat, that's fine. But right now, can we just let the God of all comfort comfort us? Can we do that? Let's empty them pews, those that want to pray somewhere. If you want to pray right where you are, that's up to you. But just for a few moments, let's just pray. Let's pray for the Jones family. Let's pray for the church. Oh, let's pray that God would just touch us and help us. Take that hurting heart. Let's just give it to the God of all comforts, because I know He's able to comfort us today. He's able to comfort us in Jesus' name. Oh, we love you.